Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Justin Hune. He is the editor, he's the founder and publisher of the Uranium Insider. That means that we will be chatting uranium again, and we do have a news event that is quite noteworthy that just broke this week that we can follow up on. That is the restart of the Cigar Lake mine. Estimated in the very short term, this month even, in April is when we're hearing that Cigar Lake could come back online. Now, Justin, give us your thoughts on how this could impact the uranium market. Initially, we have seen the stocks get hit, but not too significantly. And overall, I know a lot of people were pointing to the initial suspension of operations at Cigar Lake as very bullish. How do you view now the restart of the mine for the uranium sector?
It's what we expected, really, to see that mine come back online. We didn't really know a time frame, and I think that the expectation was that it would be down a little bit longer, primarily due to the fact that they shut it down again in December because of COVID concerns. Yet now we're seeing the highest ever case count, daily case counts for the province of Saskatchewan, where the mine is located currently. So it's a bit of a surprise to bringing it back on due to the present COVID situation in that area, and that being the reason that they brought it down. So that's kind of like something that's sort of piquing our interest a bit. We don't know to the extent that, let's say, vaccinations have been able to get up to the local communities and the workers at the mine. So it's possible that they have implemented safety protocols that they feel comfortable with. It's possible that they're going to restart with perhaps a smaller number of staff, distancing, different sanitary methods that they're using that they might feel comfortable bringing everybody back online, plus perhaps some vaccination happening. We don't really know yet, but clearly I think that Cameco wouldn't be doing this if, A, they didn't feel confident that their workers and the workers' families and local communities would remain safe with this decision, and B, that they didn't need that production. So it's expensive to keep that mine on care and maintenance. It's something in the realm of $8 to $10 million a month for them to keep that mine on care and maintenance. So it really makes sense for them financially to bring it back as soon as possible. And there's a couple of other things happening. So Cigar Lake, essentially, the life of mine production for Cigar Lake is already consumed in mid to long-term contracts. So Cameco and Orano both have term contracts with production from the Cigar Lake mine and McLean Lake Mill, where the ore is sent. So it's not like the pounds from Cigar Lake coming back online are going to be flooding the market. It doesn't really change a lot when it comes to the actual nuclear fuel market, having this mine back online, other than it being a positive for the companies involved. Orano is a pretty consistent spot seller. They took a decent break for a while there, but they're pretty consistent in their spot market selling. I personally believe that much of that selling is in the form of UF6 or converted uranium hexafluoride, not in U308. And that's because they just don't have much production this over the past 12 months coming from Cigar Lake. Their Catco JV mine in with Kazatomprom has definitely been impacted by the 4-month shutdown from COVID last year. And they just closed the Cominac mine in Niger. So Orano really needs some U308 feedstock in the front end of their own fuel cycle to fulfill their contracts. So they probably have some pressure. Cameco probably has some pressure coming from Orano to get back on the horse here. So overall, I would say, it's a good sign for the sector that shows that there's at least sufficient demand to bring that mine back online and or insufficient spot market pounds available for them to purchase, which they've been doing since they closed McArthur River in 2018.
That's a key point to consider there, Justin, is that the company did seem okay with just simply fulfilling some of their contracts through purchases on the spot market, but we have seen new entrants into that spot market and all the available supply of uranium. So do you think that was actually one of the main considerations, is that they're seeing maybe supply start to dry up?
I think that's a big part of their considerations. Cameco is not about to default on their on their agreements to deliver into their contracts. That's the last thing they want to do. They want to be seen as a reliable producer. They need to sign more long-term contracts in the very near future here in order to keep Cigar Lake up and running, let alone bring McArthur River back online in the next few years. So they definitely need to fill up their contract book, especially for McArthur River. And I think you made a really good point that the spot market has seen a lot of activity lately with all of these non-producing companies buying up material. Yellow Cake, Denison, Uranium Energy, Uranium Royalty Corp, Encore Energy, Boss Energy. I'm probably missing one or maybe two there. Uranium Participation has not come into the market yet, but one example of how potentially thin the spot market is currently is Denison's 2.5 million pounds they purchased. It supposedly had to come over 17 separate transactions and over delivery of about 6 months just to get 2.5 million pounds. So I don't think details like that make a company like Cameco feel very confident that there's enough production coming into the spot market and or mobile inventory available for sale at these prices for them to feel confident in keeping that mine down and fulfilling into their contract. So I believe that did play a really big part in it, Corey.
So you mentioned that a lot of this future production is already taken by future contracts for the uranium that comes out of there. So does this not really have the restart of this mine not really have any impact then on where we might see contracts getting signed? Because that's one thing you've really pointed to is that we need some higher prices for some of these futures to, I guess, further drive price and help support some of these stocks.
I think if anything, it's just a signal to the market that there's sufficient demand and insufficient supply. Cameco being one of the biggest producers in the world behind Kazatomprom, behind BHP at this point with their Olympic Dam production in Australia, that for them to bring that mine back online under the circumstances with COVID still sort of, I mean, I wouldn't say it's raging necessarily, but it's at the highest level that it's ever been in that province. I think that it does send a signal to the market that the market is tightening and is in support of this decision, let's say. So we should hear more from Cameco in their quarterly call coming up here and on any contract interest. And the last that we've heard from Cameco management in their previous calls is that they've had more off-market interest coming from utilities and signing contracts than they've seen since Fukushima. So that's a really, really good sign. And as soon as that starts happening, we should see the term price start to trickle up a bit. And I don't know whether or not the term price is going to pull up the spot price or if the spot price is going to move the term price. Either way, one or the other is likely to happen this year. We know that utilities have been coming to companies like Cameco seeking term contracts, but asking for base escalated contracts as opposed to a balance between fixed and term. So base escalated is essentially a fixed price contract with a percentage of escalation in price over the term of the contract to account for borrowing rates and expected increases price in spot market pricing. And producers have not been willing to sign these contracts. So the utilities are starting to show up at the table. They're starting to try to get future pounds on their own terms, but they're being mostly rejected by the producers saying, yeah, we're not willing to sign that type of contract. We know these prices have to go much, much higher, at least to the price, you know, to the nominal price of average production globally, which is, you know, up into the 50s, potentially into the 60s to really get the projects on the margins even close to production. So we're starting to see the balance of power shift from the buyers to the sellers. And that's a slow process, but it's definitely happening. And that's a great sign for the sector.
So Justin, outside of this news about the Cigar Lake restart, any other news events that have caught your eye for the uranium market over the last, let's say, week or two?
Yeah, I mean, there was a piece of news that just came out today. You know, in this past month, China has come out with their 5-year plan. The 5-year plan is always quite shocking when we hear the numbers that they're projecting. In this case, we're looking at a 10-year plan here out to 2030, and they just revised that again. That came out today saying they're adding another 10 gigawatts to their previous guidance, shooting to arrive at 120 gigawatts of operating capacity from nuclear by 2030. They're currently, I believe, at 47 gigawatts. It's just under 50 gigawatts. So they're looking to add, let's see, what is that, 70 plus gigawatts of power in 10 years. That's phenomenal growth. And it really goes to show you how much China's demand is driving this story. And they continue to reaffirm that they're on that path and they intend to stay on that path. So that's a really good sign on the demand side of things. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if we hear about China coming into the market again, looking for projects. You know, they do a bit of contracting, some of the Chinese utilities, but for the most part, they usually look for actual projects or stakes in projects. They've got a 25% share in Paladin's Langer-Heinrich mine. They have a 20% share in Fission. And then they own the Husab mine outright in Namibia. So it's highly likely that they will continue to look for either significant stakes in companies and offtakes in certain projects, likely in Africa, or potentially to buy entire projects like they did with the Husab mine. It'll be really interesting to see that. But the China growth story continues, and the China embracing of nuclear just continues to be reinforced. And it's something that surely the markets should be paying attention to, and the utilities are definitely watching this and seeing, okay, you know, in the previous bull market, this is one of the big factors was the China growth story in nuclear that sort of sent the utilities scrambling to make sure they could secure pounds through contracts in light of China growing so quickly.
All right, let's talk about some of the stocks then, or a broad comment on the stocks to wrap us up, because you do cover a lot of stocks in your newsletter. How do you see the stocks positioned right now if you were to make a comment in terms of are they overvalued, are they undervalued, are they going to move sideways for a little bit? How do you see the setup broadly in uranium stocks?
It looks to me right now like they're taking a little bit of a breather. I'm seeing a lot of sort of bull flags, a lot of bull pennants, a lot of multi-week consolidations, pulls back to the pullbacks to the 50-day moving average, the rising 50-day moving average, really sort of healthy type looking corrections in what I believe is a continuation of a bull market. I think right now is a really good time to do your research on the companies that you want to ride this thing out with. And it's probably a good time if you don't already own any uranium equities. I think that this 20-ish percent pullback from the highs of last month is a nice point to enter. If you're still building positions over tranches, which is what we recommend to our newsletter subscribers, is to enter into these things over a number of tranches because of the volatility, this is probably a good point to add a tranche. I think that the market is taking a nice little breather, kind of encouraged by the Cigar Lake news. I expected a bigger pullback, to be honest, but things are hanging in there pretty well, and it's only a matter of time before we see some more action in the spot market. Cameco still needs to buy, you know, somewhere in the realm of 7 to 10 million pounds in the spot market this year. And seeing how thin it was for Denison, that type of volume buying should be accretive to the spot price. And they've always said they don't want to be the buyer of last resort. So now that we have all these other entrants coming into the spot market, they don't have to feel so lonely in there. Come in and do some buying, and you know, at some point the utilities are going to step up to the plate as well. And until then, these sort of pullbacks are gifts, because the market is very clearly going higher.
All right, Justin, appreciate your insights in the uranium sector, and especially following up on that news regarding Cigar Lake. We'll chat again in a few weeks, and I will post a link to the Uranium Insider website so everyone can get some more information on your newsletter. Justin, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
My pleasure, Corey. Always good to talk to you. Thanks.